Shire is a leading global specialty biopharmaceutical company with a focus on helping people with life-altering conditions to lead better lives. While Shire's portfolio of ADHD medicines helps patients diagnosed with ADHD, we recognize the need to provide additional support to them and their families. And that's why we at Shire value our local, regional, and international partnerships that are designed to develop and enhance programs to improve the understanding and awareness of ADHD. At Shire, people diagnosed with ADHD have our full attention. To learn more about Shire, visit www.shire.com.
Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Today is December the 28th in the year 2011 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. I'm thrilled tonight to have Sarah Wright in our virtual studio. Our topic, the history of ADHD Coaches Organization, or commonly known as the ACO. One quick announcement before we get to our program, and that is if you haven't done so, please go to our Facebook page and check it out. Like us if you want. The address is www.facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. While on our page, you can access archive shows, you can listen to our show live, and you can actually see a list of our upcoming shows, not to mention be able to write on our wall. But let's get into the meat of the show. Again, my interview tonight was with Sarah Wright. It's on the history of ADHD Coaches Organization. It was taped before tonight, mostly for convenience of our schedules and the fact that I'm actually on vacation right now. But I thought having this topic on to close out the year would be very fitting. The ADHD Coaches Organization is an excellent organization that brings professionalism and efficacy to coaches to benefit our industry and those that they serve. So, without further ado, I will give you my interview with Sarah Wright.
Tonight we have Sarah Wright in our virtual studio, and our topic is a brief history on the ADHD Coaches Organization. Been very excited about wanting to do this show for a very long time. The ACO has been around for many, many years and has kind of helped organizing ADHD coaching profession, both bringing us together to speak with a voice, ensuring professionalism and ethics. And so I'm real thrilled today with Sarah kind of coming on board to really kind of tell us about the history of ADHD coaching, et cetera. So, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
I tell you what, I'd like to kind of start way back in the beginning, a little bit before ADHD coaching. Can you talk to us a little bit about where the coaching profession has its roots and how the industry even kind of came about?
Well, I wasn't there then. but the people I've talked to and the research I've done, it really started in the late 1980s, early 1990s, with roots in actually business coaching and also other disciplines, including sociology, positive psychology, development, career counseling, these sorts of things, and brought it, you know, out of the business world and applied it to individual lives.
Hence the beginning of life coaching. How did life coaching kind of evolve? And then if you can just kind of talk about, like, where did ADHD coaching start?
Well, it actually has, it's many of the people who are luminaries in our field, Nancy Rady, Sandy Maynard, Sue Sussman, these names, they were there from the beginning in the life coaching movement. And so ADHD coaching very quickly, like if you just go look at some numbers, coaching schools like Coach U or the Coach Training Institute, they were founded in 1992. The International Coaching Federation was founded in 1995.
Yep.
There were people, Nancy, Sue, Sandy, were coaching in the early 90s, and in fact, when Driven to Distraction was first published in March of 1994, I mean, I can hardly believe it was that long ago, that was the first mention of coaching for ADHD in print. And it wasn't just, you know, pulled out of the air. It's because people were already doing it.
Mm, it's so Sandy, Nancy, all those people had been around doing it, and then I guess when Hollowell and Rady wrote the book in 94, they really put it on the map.
Yeah, yep. And there were, by then, in 1994, Madeline Griffith Haney, who was also one of these early people working with Thomas Leonard, one of his proteges, she started the Optimal Functioning Institute and started training coaches. By then, Sue Sussman and Nancy Rady had also developed a program and were training coaches. In 1998, David Gawork founded the ADD Coach Academy. And so it goes back that far.
So what I'm hearing is a coaching profession has really kind of had its root back in the 80s with business coaching and kind of morphed itself into life. And then in the early 90s, there were several people out there that were really kind of coaching the ADD realm, and the book came out, Driven to Distraction in print, kind of put it on the map. And since that point in time, several people have had schools to kind of formalize it and actually kind of teach techniques and stuff in the area, you know, as a kind of a specialty of life coaching, which continues today, right?
Exactly. And it's, you know, it took sort of a while to figure out exactly what was going on when people first started doing this and, you know, figuring out what worked. And, you know, this incredible energy and creative spurt, I guess. Laura Berman Portgang, who was a protege of Thomas Leonard's, she got really curious as to, you know, who else might be doing this kind of thing. And this is, she was one of the people who helped sort of pull others together. What is it we're doing? How do we define what we're doing? What is it about what we do that works? And that's been a, you know, that helped result in, I think initially, what was the name of the organization? It's escaping me now.
And we'll come back to it. I'm sure it'll pop in your head.
But then, if it, you know, then the ICF and later other organizations. But just to concentrate on the ADHD piece, you know, it took a while to figure out, you know, exactly what worked and to articulate it. ADA, I believe, hosted a task force in the early, you know, 2001, 2002, around then.
Yep.
Define, you know, what is ADHD coaching? And that, again, Nancy Rady was part of that, Peter Jaska, I forget who else. And so you can still find that in various places, that original statement about what ADHD is.
Well, it's interesting. And by the way, just for the people out there, ADA is the Attention Deficit Disorder Association. The ICF is the International Coaches Federation. And, you know, something it's interesting that you say, hearing you to explain that, because, you know, back in the old days, trying to actually define what coaching was, what ADHD coaching was, what you were actually doing, it's fascinating to me to think back in those days. I do know I've heard Nancy Rady talk to me a couple times about the old days when her and Sue Sussman were going around kind of training coaches, and it's funny because you see the gleam in her eye and the excitement of those times. They were wild and woolly, apparently, because you know, you're trying to figure that out on the fly because you knew there was something there and you knew that it worked, but you're really trying to kind of hone down and define what it is that we were doing. And it's funny just listening to Nancy talk. It just always seems like it was just a real fun, energetic, exciting time. I mean, it still is today, but back in those formative years before we even had the ADHD coaches organization and everybody coming together, it was just a small band of Indians trying to figure it all out.
Yep, and dipping into the existing research to see, you know, what is the theoretical basis for why what we're doing seems to be so effective. You know, really, really interesting stuff. But the schools have started, some of these credentialing organizations, the had started.
Mm-hmm.
The ADHD, the statement of what ADHD coaching is,
mm-hmm.
had been created. And there's more and more people had been trained and were doing this, and there was more and more collective experience as to what worked.
Uh-huh.
And also growing concern because, you know, we all know coaching is not a licensed profession.
Uh-huh.
Anyone can call themselves a coach. As to really solidifying what we knew and making sure that there were standards,
mm-hmm.
that agreed upon standards that were in place that people could measure themselves against what they were doing, how they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of discussions going on in the community, in all sorts of quarters, as to the importance of you know, creating some standards, creating an organization, creating a certification. And by 2005,
mm-hmm.
This was really starting to gel.
Mm-hmm.
The 2005 is when a group of these original trainers got together. This included, Nancy and Sue Sussman, Madeline Griffith Haney was there to begin with,
mm-hmm.
Cody Sleeper Triplett,
mm-hmm.
Who am I forgetting, Sandy Maynard, Carol Janou, Linda Seep. There may be some others, but it was this group of people who'd been doing this really arguably longer than anybody else. Between
uh-huh.
them, they had an incredible number of years, hours of coach experience and coach training experience. And they founded the International Association for the Advancement of Coaching in 2005 with the express purpose of creating a credential and
mm-hmm.
creating standards. In another quarter of the community, there was also a lot of talk around the importance of grassroots interest in
uh-huh.
putting this together. And a real big presence in that was Glenn Hogard. Is Glenn Hogard? He's still with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he really had a passion for this, and he just kept talking to people about it and generating enthusiasm and pulling ideas together. And at the ADA conference in Tucson in 2005, again, that's the ADD Association,
uh-huh.
He and...
wasn't it Ken Zaretsky? Wasn't he one of the original guys that he hooked up with?
Yeah, he was there, but he didn't put on that presentation. It was Tammy Cochran and Glenn, and they'd had their presentation had been reviewed by, I think Kate Kelly had pitched in, and
uh-huh.
I forget. But they gave this presentation at the end of the ADA conference, and they invited anyone who could stay, because the conference was actually already over,
okay.
to come and listen to this. And they gave this presentation with an impassioned call for a grassroots professional association for ADD coaching. And that kicked off a basically steering committee. They created a Yahoo group. Within a few weeks, they had close to 100 people.
Wow. So he kicked off a flurry of activity, huh?
It sure did. And meetings were held and committees formed. And there were some really intense discussions.
Mm-hmm.
They were working on some very important definitions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big ones was, what exactly is an ADD coach? Because at the time, because ADD is a diagnosis,
uh-huh.
and, we coach around the life issues. You know, we don't do any of the diagnosing or treating, but we
just straight coaching
life issues. There was perceived to be, some overlap with what therapists do,
uh-huh.
workers do. nurse practitioners do? You know, what is it that this ADD coaching thing is? What exactly is it? And so this was a lot of talk around creating a definition. And it was Ken. It was Ken Zaretsky who articulated in those discussions that we are life coaches first with additional expertise in ADHD and coaching people with ADHD.
So this is fascinating. Just to kind of recap, everybody comes together at the ATA conference in Phoenix, and a presentation is put on for a call of everybody to come together to, for lack of a better term, legitimize or bring together an association for the promotion of this stuff. And all of a sudden, there's a firestorm. People are kind of coming together. It's getting organized. And the first order of business is really defining what ADHD coaching is amongst the quagmire of life coaching and other mental health professionals in such a way as to make a distinction between what ADHD coaching is specifically, but also to define what it's not. So that sounds like it was quite an undertaking.
And passions ran high, and but this is what happened. This was by July of 2005. This had been, and the minute it was said, everyone went yes. Yes, that's it.
Oh, so we had
that's
consensus.
What we believe.
When we put it, when the definition kind of came together, the consensus kind of hit, and it was like, okay, now we've got it.
Yep, and it's a very similar, if not identical, definition that the International Association for the Advancement of Coaching (IAC) uses, and that the professional, association, the
for ADHD coaches.
Yep.
Yep.
So this is. This is the agreed upon definition for what it is, who we are.
And that definition today, I believe it's, and correct me if I'm wrong, an ADD coach is a coach first. They are trained as coaches. They have special training, expertise, or knowledge in addition to their coach training that qualifies them to specialize in working with people with attention deficit disorder. Is that the official definition?
Yes, close enough.
Excellent, excellent.
That is the intent of the official definition, yes.
Excellent. I tell you what, Sarah, I need to go to a kind of a commercial break. So let's kind of do that real quick, and when we come back, now we have a definition, we have people together, we can actually start, we can really kind of get into the discussion of the beginning of what we now know as the ACO, correct?
Go for it.
All right, we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
You deserve the best trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone, Tonight in our virtual studio, we have Sarah Wright. We're talking about the history of the ADHD Coaches Organization. Before the break, we were kind of covering basically the roots of coaching and life coaching, and we kind of segued our way into how ADHD coaching kind of came about. And where we last left, everybody had gotten together at a presentation at the Attention Deficit Disorder Association Conference in Phoenix back in 2005. A call to action to kind of bring coaches together. Very quickly, there was a firestorm. Everybody was kind of communicating, going back and forth, and we got a definition of ADHD coaching. So it was time to move forward. So, Sarah, kind of picking up where we left off, we've got people, we've got a definition stuff. People are communicating, so was this the beginning of the ACO?
Well, this whole steering committee was the gestational period for the mm-hmm. ACO. It was so there was this whole debate as to what was going on, and while we were on break, I actually found the exact words from the message in which this was first articulated. You want me to read it?
Sure. Yeah, it'd be great.
June 30th, 2005, a post from Ken Zaretsky. It appears that there may be two schools of thought among us. I think there are some of us who see ADD coaches as part of an adjunct to the medical profession and a part of a medical team. Their training is generally medical, and they may have some coach training. The other, in which I fall, appears to believe that an ADD coach is a coach first. They are trained as a coach. They have special training, expertise, or knowledge in addition to their coach training that qualifies them to specialize in working with people with attention deficit disorder. So there you go.
Wow. Ken wrote that?
This was a gestational period from May of 2005 until December of 2005. It was also Ken who found they had a working name, something like ADD Coaching Association or something.
Mm-hmm.
And in looking through available names and internet real estate, which you have to take into account these days.
Uh-huh.
It was Ken who chose the name ADHD Coaches Organization, and so we became the ACO. There was a lot of talk also about whether or not that this organization should be a credentialing body. That mm-hmm. there was some concern. In the people who were part of this effort, that it was a conflict of interest for people who had training schools to be mm-hmm. credential. So there was significant discussion as to whether or not the ACO should become a credentialing body, and in the end it was decided that the most important role for the ACO was as a professional association. And it was first incorporated in December of 2005, and the first board meeting was held on the solstice, December 21st, 2005.
It's interesting. I want to kind of highlight here that it's interesting that you brought that up, the credentialing piece of it, because the International Coaching Federation, they really kind of have two pieces of that. They have the credentialing side and then kind of the membership side. And what I'm hearing you say is that in this process it was decided that there needed to be a clear division between the two. So the ACO was kind of born, and then you had IAC at the time, which was a credential, and later PAC kind of came along. But they're not a part of the ACO, and it was a purposeful decision back then to make those separate.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it is. I think it is to the benefit of the profession that they are separate.
This is a personal opinion, but I kind of agree with you, because I think it's good to kind of have those policing organizations stand separate, but at the same time have another organization to unite everybody together that's interested in that space. So, while it's my opinion, your opinion, I think it was a real good decision, and I'm glad. You know, it is the way it is today. Sarah, can you recall in that first board meeting back in December, who was on the board at that time? By chance, do you have a record of it?
Let's see. Ken and Glenn, again, who had really toughed this out. A lot of credit goes to the two of them. There were other people who were there from the beginning, but they were the ones who were just determined to see it incorporated.
And that'd be Glenn Hogard and Ken Zaretsky, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And sadly, Ken left us at the beginning of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I miss him.
Very unfortunate.
Yeah.
He was quite a character. I mean, you knew Ken was coming before he got there.
Yep. So anyway, you asked who was on the board.
You were on at that time, right?
Ken recruited me. That first meeting, the board had to appoint who was going to hold mm-hmm. what positions. There were no members at the time. A woman named Kathy Jansen
mm-hmm.
was nominated president. Jan DeLaura was secretary. Laurie Dupar was vice president.
Uh-huh.
Kirsch McConlogue became chair of communications, and she ended up doing the web and the newsletter and the conference. And basically, it was on her shoulders all the things that everybody experienced as the ACO. She did an incredible job. Ken and Glenn were there, and I was nominated secretary. And we got the thing going. We started publishing the newsletter. We got the web up. We started accepting members in January.
That's 06, right?
Yeah, beginning of 06.
Yep.
And in May of 06, again at the ADA conference, we had a membership drive. We had a real rollout. This was in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And we rented a room, and we held a big cocktail party and a membership drive and a lot of fun. And we, by the end of the conference, we had over 100 members.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was exciting, and we continued to develop and think things through and...
This is interesting because it was May the prior year that the presentation was done in Phoenix, and so one year later, you had a board, the organization had formed, the first issue of the ACO newsletter, Circles, had already been published, mm-hmm. you were taking on members, you have a membership drive, a year later, and all of a sudden you've got 100 people on board.
Yep.
That really speaks to the movement of how quickly this thing kind of got going, and kudos to everybody made it happen.
It speaks both to the need and mm-hmm. that the ACO, you know, really figured out what was needed and how to serve that need.
Mm.
So I really give incredible credit to all my colleagues on that original board. It was just amazing what a very small group of very dedicated people were able to pull off.
I tell you what, just because this is a natural break, let's go and run to our second commercial break, and then when we get back, I think the next part is, now that you have an organization, you guys started kind of looking to the future and kind of planning. So when we come back, we can kind of get into that and then bring that all the way through to where we are today. For those that are interested, if you're listening to the show, if you want to go to the ACO website, it's at ADHD Coaches, COACHES.org. Again, that's ADHDcoaches.org, and you can check out the website. And with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We got Sarah Wright in the house, and we're talking about the ACO. At the top of the show, we were talking about the origins of coaching, ADHD coaching, and then we moved into the formation of the ACO. So, Sarah, where we left off is the ACO is a functioning organization. They've got 100 members. Things are kind of going on. And if I understand correctly, next was kind of tackling the future. Didn't you guys sit down and start taking a look at, like, a three-year plan?
Yeah, we did sit down in that first 6 months of existence and create a three-year strategic plan, which we worked hard to follow up on. And it involved really continuing to identify what would be of benefit to the members. You know, it is a professional association, and it is a membership organization, and it is, we felt, you know, really that it was really important, and we were proud to be, and remain so, an organization for ADHD coaches about ADHD coaching by ADHD coaches. This is up until very recently, it was all volunteer. We finally grew big enough that we could get some paid help. But before I go there, one of the things that happened at that at a conference in Orlando where we had the membership drive was I remember sitting in one of the booths in the hotel restaurant talking with Laurie Dupar and Jan DeLora and Kirsch McConlog saying, you know, we could do this ourselves. The coaches have always come to ADA because this is where the ADA conference was the most welcoming to coaches.
Most welcoming annual conference to coaches where everybody could get together, congregate, and share ideas, right?
So we get to see our colleagues and talk shop and learn new things. And, you know, we think, we could do this. We could have a conference, not just a smaller track at a bigger organization, you know, about coaching or about ADD like ICF or ADA or CHAD.
Mm-hmm.
We could have our own conference that was specifically on topics that are of importance to our members.
Mm-hmm.
And a year later, that's exactly what we did. We met, we had a three-day conference. It started Friday night and ended, well, two-day. Friday night and ended Sunday afternoon. We had a conference in Chicago, Illinois, and we brought together 40 people. Andrea Lee was our keynote speaker. It was just thrilling, and it was deliberately set up to be affordable and easy to get to and to encourage community. All the food was provided,
mm-hmm.
and we just got a lot of time to be together and FaceTime and excite, you know, talk about what was exciting to us and inspire each other and be inspired. And it was thrilling. It was just so cool. And the next year we did it again. That time we had 50 people. Again, we did it in Chicago. Because when you have a small team as we do, you want to leverage what you've got.
Yep.
And, you know, we already knew this place, and it made it just easier. So we did it again. And that was 2008. 2009. We actually had to cancel.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone remembers that, but
that was the economy was just going into the tank at that point in time. So it really wasn't so much a reflection on what was going on at the ACO. It was really more the economic times that was kind of going on. It was pretty tough for everybody.
The economy had really tanked, and everyone wasn't sure what was going to happen, and really nobody signed up.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to cancel. But we came back the year after that in a big way, and I want a little shout-out to Viv Monahan, who took on the conference that year and made with the new membership,
yep.
Kay Axtell. They did a huge outreach effort, and they got 75 people together. You know, that's a 50% growth rate.
Yep.
We were sold out in a year when many conferences were still seeing record low numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had another just really inspiring conference.
And that was the first year I went. I remember Russ Ramsey was the keynote at that one. He gave kind of a great presentation, and I remember the energy in the room was kind of off the charts because they hadn't had the conference the year before. People starved, and if I remember correctly, there was an expectation that there would be strong attendance, but from what I remember from Viv, the 75 exceeded the expectations. So it was a really exciting time.
It really, really was, and to be oversubscribed was, you know, when we weren't sure what was going to happen, it was one of those, you know, leap and the net will appear kind of experience. we're now well over 200 members, and there's the programs is really focused on education development. There's the regular expert speaker series where we get, you know, interesting conversations. And then the program that's been going now for, I guess, almost 2 years, you know, it takes a while to get these things going, is the ACE program, the Advanced Coach Education Program, to bring topics of these are only for trained coaches. It's not for newbies.
Yep.
These are advanced courses on specialized topics for our members, and it's again part of the ACO's commitment to really elevate not just the awareness of coaching, but also the quality of coaching, and to provide members with opportunities for this continuing education.
So there's certainly the website that's got resources. You have the Circles newsletter that goes out. You've got the Advanced Coach Education. You've got the Expert Speaker Series that's going on. And you have the annual conference that's kind of going on and a host of other things, so that the membership package is very robust for all that. In addition to that, all member coaches also get to be able to post their I guess their business is on the ACO Find a Coach website, right?
The professional members get a full-page listing, which we feel is both an important benefit to the members, but also to the community that we serve. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we, Jeff, as a coach, you know what we do works.
Yep.
And there's growing evidence as to, you know, that it works and why it works. And so to make this people aware of coaching and how to find a coach who's a perfect match for them is an important part of what we set out to do. And so it's because we are a professional association and people from diverse training backgrounds become part of our community, we have at the ACO the largest list of trained coaches anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy for people to find a coach, including internationally. This is actually an international organization.
Yes.
And but also as a benefit for members, we have the top. If you Google ADHD or ADD and coaches or coaching, we're at the top of the list. So we're
mm-hmm.
if you're a member, you're very easy to find.
So this is fascinating. So everybody shows up in 2005 in Arizona. A year later, in 06, everybody gets together in Orlando, and the organization is actually kind of functioning, kind of, you know, it's going. 07 comes around and says, wait a second, we can have our own conference here, starting to get some member benefits. Things are kind of growing. It's robust. It's moving along. Back in 06, there was a little bit of a strategic plan for 3 years. That stuff has been implemented. So that brings us around, basically, to we're turning the corner in the summer of 2010, had a very successful conference, again, up in Chicago with 75 members. And now you guys are retrenching, doing another strategic plan, and getting ready for the 2011 conference. Can you tell us about that time?
We have a new venue. We're going to be holding the conference in 2012.
Looking back and turning the corner from 2010 to 2011, there's more energy that's kind of growing, and we've got another conference that was coming up again in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
This time, didn't it exceed 100 participants?
Yeah, actually, sorry. Thank you for bringing me back. I skipped over that whole thing. Yeah, again, we were sold out. Over 100 participants, and it was I had stepped down finally as president of the organization, and Ian King was then president, and we took that opportunity. With the board exploded, actually,
mm-hmm.
in 2010. We went from having 6 members and maybe a couple of effective committees to having 10 board members and probably 5 or 6 really effective committees. And that's when our membership chair, with her efforts, helped push membership steadily over 200. And it was a real, we'd really turned the corner. We'd gone from being sort of a frontier town to being
mm-hmm.
a little more established. Our reputation
yep.
Was really growing, and clearly a lot of goodwill
yep.
and a lot of respect. And that particular conference, again, sold out, really exciting. We had Ava Green
from yes.
Totally ADD come and tell us a story about the wonderful documentary that she and her husband, Rick Green, did with Patrick McKenna. It was a wonderful story. We had some coaches from Peru come and tell us about what they were doing down there and the difference they were making. And also,
what was really interesting about that, which really struck me from that conference, was in part was you know glorious and in part tragic, but two of the original board members were celebrated.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I'll let you. I guess let's do the Ken Zaretsky first, and then let's go to Glenn. But unfortunately, can you tell us about the unfortunate part of Ken, but also his family coming to participate?
Right. This really was in many ways the emotional heart of that particular conference. Was celebrating these two outstanding co-founders of the ACO, and Ken Zaretsky, this name that has come up multiple times in this interview.
Uh-huh.
He is a Chicago native, and he had unexpectedly, you know, it's still hard to talk about, I find, unexpectedly passed away in his sleep in early February. And just a shock to the community. Hard to imagine ADHD coaching without Ken Zaretsky. So we took that opportunity to do a memorial for him and his family. Lives in Chicago, and they came and gave a lovely eulogy for him, along with what some of the memories that the coaches provided. And we were so glad to have them there, and it was such a moving.
It was really moving and really a testament, because when his family came out and talked about it, while they didn't know a lot of the people in the room, they were very familiar with what's going on, and you really got a sense of what ADD coaching, the impact it had in Ken's life, and how passionate he was. I mean, we all knew that the passion was there, but it really came out to see his family kind of come up and speak to it. And how important it was to him. It was really, 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 really very moving and touching.
Yeah. That was an important part of this particular conference. And the other one was, again, it was Ken Zaretsky's idea, was which we followed through on in part in tribute to him. And his idea was to create the Glenn Hogard Award for Service to the Profession. and not the Glenn and Ken, but the Glenn Hogard. So we followed through on that idea, and inaugurated the Glenn Hogard Award for Service to the Profession, and awarded it, the first one, to
appropriately too.
Yep, and it was lovely to have Glenn there again. He's such a really delightful person, very giving. Ken and Glenn were both very giving, very incredibly stubborn people.
Well, okay, so we're being honest. They were quite characters, but they were stubborn. But at the same time, had they not been stubborn, who knows if the ACO would ever come about.
Absolutely.
We're going to make this thing happen.
Absolutely.
Come hell or high water. Are you with us or not?
Absolutely. That's exactly it. And we thank them for it because, you know, life would be very different without them.
Mm.
So that was absolutely a huge part of that particular conference.
I also another thing that struck me at the conference that was really kind of cool was the ACO kind of gave the floor. At this point in time, we've had coach training schools for a period of time, but really from a notoriety perspective, the ADD Coaching Academy and Jody Sleeper Triplets program were starting to get some accolades. Jody's program had been used for a research-based project that actually started to document that there were benefits from coaching. And David's program was in the process of being recognized by the ICF. And I felt it was a big conference because not only within our community did these schools have some credibility, but they also had some credibility outside of our domain.
Yes.
And to me, it was really kind of moving to say, hey, listen, this is real, and it was starting to legitimize outside of the ACO, but within the purview of what it was trying to promote. And I thought that was particularly noteworthy because ACO was on the map, but everything that ACO stood for was really on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And just as a little sidebar, one of the other ways that ADHD coaching and the ACO is exploding on the map is, let's see, get my years right. This is still 2011. 2010, the ACO collaborated with Chad and Ada for the first time on ADHD Awareness Week. And it was a great collaboration. Got a lot of material prepared. There was a outreach through social networking, and we were so excited with what we've been able to accomplish that the team stuck together and started planning for the first time ever. Start planning a year ahead. remember, this is a bunch of volunteer ADD people.
Yeah.
That's a really tough thing for us to do. And this year, the ACO, Chad, Ada, and Attitude Magazine, who was also part of the team last year,
mm-hmm.
the thing just exploded. We were so unprepared for how big it got this year,
mm-hmm.
with what we had nucleated and were fostering. We had the ADHDAwareness.org website. We had the poster and the seven facts and
mm-hmm.
survey that went out, and we had a couple dozen organizations, including government agencies and really large established professional associations, including the American Association of Adolescent and Pediatric Psychiatrists, and the National Association of Neurologists, and so two dozen organizations lending their name to ADHD Awareness Week. So here's the ACO that is barely
out of its infancy.
Out of its infancy, and we're up there putting in our efforts and being on the same playing field as these really large organizations. Working to bring awareness to ADHD and to help serve the population in this unique way that we have that really is making, clearly makes a big difference in living well.
So it's, you know, in other words, it was kind of inaugural. You know, the ATO is stepping up and taking its rightful place as one of the partners and a cornerstone in the ADHD community to do its part in standing there promoting ADHD Awareness Week. So to me, that is a big milestone and very exciting.
Well, I also want to just shout out to all the coaches out there, because for as long as I've been involved in this field, which is 10 years now, going to, you know, CHAD, ADA, ACO, other conferences, working on the study. I mean, I was helped initiate that study you alluded to about that uses Jody's coaching model.
Uh-huh.
You know, really involved in that, really involved in this ADHD awareness stuff. I have to say that coaches are the people who step up to make these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank all you coaches out there for the volunteer work you do, the work you do to get the ADHD awareness out there, what you do to help your clients. It is making a huge difference. So
it really is. It really is. The footprint's getting larger.
Mm-hmm.
We got a few minutes left. Looking forward, big plans this year. The conference is being moved from Chicago. It's actually going to be in Atlanta at the end of March, correct?
Correct.
And I'm sure there's some exciting things that are going on with regard to it. I would like to ask you, where do you, from your perspective, what's the future hold for the ACO?
Well, we know it's true, but now there's actually documentation of how effective ADHD coaching is. And just to cite broadly the existing research into ADHD coaching, we know from these studies that people who engage in coaching, they get more done.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to make better decisions. They feel less stressed,
mm-hmm.
Anxious, and depressed without working on the emotion at all, without
mm-hmm.
a therapeutic approach to it, just by being more effective in the world. Life starts coming together for people, and they start to feel better. We know from the EDGE Foundation study where something like 80 coaches trained by Jody Sleeper Triplett were engaged in this study, that it looked at the outcome for college kids with ADHD on the effects of coaching. And what they found, it was nationwide, year-long, 2-year, 4-year, public, private.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really incredibly well-done study, that the kids who engaged in coaching, they doubled their scores on self-efficacy, and they quadrupled their scores on executive function.
Absolutely.
And this is nothing that's been looked at before in this way, has come anywhere close to making that kind of improvement in these areas. So,
and that's all exciting. It's really, really exciting. I want to kind of pause. If you want to learn more specifically about the Age Foundation and some of that research, we did a show last December, the year 2010. Go to attentiontalkradio.com and go back in the archives, and you can listen. We have a whole show dedicated to some of that stuff, because it's what Sarah's bringing up is a really, really good point. It really brings in some legitimacy, and I, you know, from what I'm hearing, is the future looks bright for the ACO and ADHD coaching.
I think so.
Sarah, we got about 45 seconds. Anything left to mention that we haven't covered?
Oh, probably tons.
Well, you've done a great job documenting this, because I know that everybody's usually running 100 miles an hour, and I know you kind of sat down and kind of chronicled this so that we could actually kind of have it in the archives. And I really appreciate you coming on the show to discuss it with us and share it with everyone at large. So if we miss anybody,
you're most welcome. And of course, there's never enough time to cover these things. And I would like to extend an invitation to your listeners to contact me if they have questions.
And the best way to contact you, by email or phone?
Email is usually easiest for me.
And what's your email?
You can reach me at through my website, sarah@sarahdwright.com. So that would be sarah@sarahdwright.com.
And again, you can also go to her website and hit the contact button. It's sarahdwright.com. And also, as everybody, as a reminder, you can certainly Google ADHD Coaches Organization, but the website is ADHDCoaches.org. And of course, you can go there and sign up for the conference and see Sarah in Atlanta and personally discuss with her anything that we didn't cover for today. With that, Sarah, again, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the show and thank our listeners. And just stay tuned next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Jeff.